We're all in uncharted territory looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Hope your Monday's off to a good start. Glad you're with us. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN2. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you, presented by Progressive Insurance. Our phone guest joining us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line, and Mike Golic Jr. is turning his pug into a bat dog. What are you? You're holding up Hank's ears?
Listen, pugs are just like one like standard deviation point away from being French bulldogs, and it's time people saw that.
Very true. Okay, appreciate that. That was an important delineation we needed to have today. Meanwhile, there are important conversations that are going on in the NBA about whether or not the league is actually going to resume play in the bubble / campus / resort feel in Orlando in wake of everything that's going on in this country and so much attention being made about the social unrest, people finally saying, hey, look, pay attention to what people of color have been telling you, that we are suffering police brutality and it needs to stop. And some of the players, that one that was not going to play in Kyrie Irving, the Nets, and someone who was going to play as part of a team that has potentially a chance to win an NBA championship in Dwight Howard for the Lakers, are having a pause thinking about whether or not we should be going forward with resuming playing basketball with all of this going on, fearing it would focus, take the attention away from the things they're trying to get across to people and have the basketball being back, and that the thing that everybody is focusing on. So for more on that, we're delighted to be joined by our NBA senior insider, Adrian Wojnarowski, and of course, the host of the Woj Pod. Woj, thanks for being with us. We know you and Ramona just posted a story on ESPN.com. Where are we on these discussions taking place, and what are the odds that it might really put a pause on what we thought was set in stone already, the resumption of the NBA season?
Hey, guys, I'll start with the second question first. I don't think there is any traction or movement or enough support among players to not play that would derail the restart of the league. I think there are individual players who may decide not to play for a variety of reasons, some of which might be the social injustice, Black Lives Matter movement, and a belief that they could do more, or that they prefer to be outside of the bubble at this time in this country's history. I think some might stay out for economic reasons. I think some may stay out because they could potentially be a free agent or have a contract extension and risk injury. And even then, I think those are going to be pretty limited numbers. I think the bigger discussion, guys, among players is, once we do return to play, how can we best leverage the platform, the eyes of the world, the television eyes, certainly, on the league, and to be able to advance this movement? And, you know, Ramona talked to Michelle Roberts in the piece that we reported out today, and she talked about that, and you see her talking about advancing that conversation. She used the example, she said, with some players about Tommy Smith and John Carlos in 1968 in Mexico City, and how they, by competing and winning standing on the medal stand, how that they were able to, you know, dramatically impact the world. And that was an example she used. And I think the players that I've talked to, largely in agents who represent significant numbers of players, the Players Association, I think that is the crux of the conversation right now.
Adrian Wojnarowski joining us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. So since that call where Kyrie brought this up, and we've heard some statements from current players like he and Dwight Howard and some former players, how important is the next statement, the inevitable statement from LeBron James?
Well, I mean, listen, LeBron carries more weight than any player in the league. He's the most influential player, maybe in professional sports. I don't think that overstates it. certainly in the NBA. And I think among the players of LeBron's elite tier, you know, the all-NBA superstars, you know, certainly especially those on teams who are competing for a championship, who are the contenders, Giannis Antetokounmpo, you know, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, they're all determined to play and plan to play. Again, I think the reasons some may not play, again, there's a variety of reasons. There's the bubble environment and how restrictive and isolating that environment's going to be for 6-7 weeks for some players, for more for others based on how far they advance. But there's no question LeBron's voice carries great sway. I think he's I think he's made it clear where he stands, that he wants to play, he wants to compete for a championship, and then he wants to use the platform in Orlando to be able to speak to the issues of social injustice, of Black Lives Matter, and he's done that often in his career in a lot of different ways, on the floor, away from the floor. And I think, you know, I think people know where he stands right now, that he'll use Orlando and use the restart to be able to do that. And I think the league is allowing the Players Association to take the lead on that and look at how they would like to do that. And I think the league has shown, you know, generally in history to be supportive of it.
Woj, I'm curious. All of this discussion is understandable and worthwhile, and like you said, may move towards the truest solution of how to use the platform in all of this as best they possibly can. Are people surprised that this conversation is taking place after the NBAPA had ratified the plan to come back and not before all of that discussion?
Well, I think it's certainly escalated since the vote, I think. But also, to be fair, I think at the time of the vote, certainly, you know, the George Floyd murder in Minneapolis had happened. And the country, there was certainly there was a movement well underway centered on what they've been speaking about this weekend. I think where people look at the timing is, I think Kyrie Irving's involvement, because he's a vice president in the Players Association. You know, I had reported on Friday that, you know, it was a week ago Friday that they had their vote and a call to discuss, you know, essentially ratifying the 22-team return. And he was on the call. He had not addressed any of these issues on the call. He had asked some other questions that were more, I think, more procedural to what the return would look like. And then soon after, you know, this became, you know, he had been starting to engage with other players in the league. And so Kyrie Irving was not the only player in the league who wanted to talk about this, who was talking about this. I think the hard part, guys, is, you know, it's like any other players association or union. You elect teams, elect player representatives, and then there's an executive committee. And, you know, ultimately the voting is done not by 450 members, but team representatives were the ones who voted on that call. There had been meetings between the Players Association, like Zoom calls, like an hour each with each team laying out these details. But I think at different times, you know, it's hard with the union because you've got players at the very top who are making who are max contract star players. There are players at the bottom in the middle whose careers are in different places, and younger, older players. So you're just going to have a lot of viewpoints, a lot of perspectives. Some of them are isolated to individual people, but most of them overlap. And I think there are a lot of issues. It is social injustice. It is the bubble. It is the risk of injury. I reported on Saturday about Donovan Mitchell and Jason Tatum and De'Aaron Fox, that group of players, Bam Adebayo, who are up for rookie contract extensions this year, hundreds of millions of dollars in contracts, who were talking to the Players Association about wanting, through the league, some insurance protection because they feel, and rightfully so, I think, that they are taking a higher, there's a higher risk of injury, maybe even serious injury, because of the layoff and then a shortened training camp. And so those are all the conversations that are going on here.
Adrian Wojnarowski with us, joining us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And Woj, then there's just the simple logistics, right? The NBA is going to release two documents to teams sometime this week, according to some of your sources. A side letter of agreement to changes in the collective bargaining agreement to accommodate the 22-team restart to the season, and then a 125-page health and safety manual detailing the step-by-step protocols from June workouts all the way through playoff games in October in Orlando. So there still seems to be a lot of information that needs to be processed here for people to understand how this is all going to work.
I would say, Trey, I think a lot of the information, almost all of it that's been in there, has been shared with the players, the teams. Like, we've been reporting on the elements of these for weeks. Many of them have been agreed to for a while. You know, in the story today, we had, a couple new elements with some contract bonuses and those things. But in terms of the health and safety, like, there's not going to be any revelations in that document where players are going to be, oh, we didn't realize this. They realize that it's mostly like a lot of, I'm told, just guidelines on cleaning and disinfecting and all the things you've got to do. The distance, there's a lot to it. There's more to it. I don't mean to oversimplify it. But the contents of that have been almost entirely shared with everybody. There's no surprises coming out of that. Players know what the quarantine situation is going to be. They know that they cannot have guests come into the bubble until after the first round of the playoffs. And so while it will be, it's really more of a document for the team executives and the teams who are just learning, just to fully understand everything that goes into getting their teams to Orlando.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate the help and the update, Woj. Obviously, we'll be looking out from you, Ramona, and others as all of the situation continues to progress. Thanks for the time, Woj.
Thanks, Woj. Thanks, buddy.
I appreciate it, guys. Talk to you soon.
It does seem like it's going forward to play. We'll see what more comments are made, or if any other players, I guess, come out, because we already know it's Dwight Howard. And again, Dwight Howard's agent last night tweeted out that Dwight has not decided whether he's playing or not. He hasn't said he's not playing, but also not that he is. So, not sure yet at this point. Kyrie was never playing because of the injury, so he wasn't coming back. So I wonder if any other active players will come out and say this isn't the right time to play.
And I think that's basically what Woj said there, is it seems like right now what Woj told us was he believes that the season will continue, that they will be finding a way to use that platform as best they can. But that doesn't mean that there won't be certain individuals who decide my time could be better served helping this cause outside of the bubble, being with my, I've heard some players express, I think it was Jordan Cornette who actually brought up one of the concerns that he would have had as a father with a young, a young kid right now, and especially having a son in this environment. I feel like me being around to kind of help him through this time and understand all the things that he's seeing and hearing and being there for that would be more valuable to him on certainly an even more micro level in all of this. So there could be that possibility with plenty of guys, but we know the crux of this has always been, would someone from like the Bucks, Lakers, or Clippers be one to bow out of the situation knowing what's on the line for those teams that are viewed as the overwhelming favorites?
And there is a Laker, and it is Dwight Howard, but again, not,
he's a reserve center.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, is there anyone outside of LeBron or Giannis that could say, I don't think we should play?
Kawhi.
That would change. You think Kawhi?
Kawhi.
But that's so, I mean, Kawhi never says anything.
No, I know. But you're talking about power players.
Are you saying that would change the flow for the entire league?
Correct.
Or that would have?
If we know if LeBron said, hey, I'm thinking about this, everyone would go, whoa. And you feel like Giannis said that, everyone would be like, wait a minute. Is there anybody else on that stature that could make a pronouncement that would make the boat rock that much.
I think Giannis would rock the boat. I don't know if he would change its course. Like, I feel like LeBron is the only one for
really change
for
course.
If we're going to stay with the ship analogy on here, I feel like LeBron's really the only one that's got his hand on the wheel in a way that's going to meaningfully change the course of this. I think Giannis would make a lot of people stop and take pause and certainly affect what we thought was possible going forward, but I think LeBron's the only one. You know what the other interesting part is? We've said over and over again in this, we're looking for LeBron to comment on this. If it really is getting to any meaningful point, we'd expect to hear from Adam Silver, correct?
Right. Yeah.
Like, we would expect he's the party that they'd be engaging with on all this at some point. And so his voice and his opinion, which are always huge in the NBA and which are really always huge in the sports landscape and have been especially since the shutdown of Corona. So if we're talking about hearing from LeBron James, I feel like it's only right to say I would probably expect to hear from Adam Silver as well.
Right. So we'll see what happens again going forward. But Woj just telling us he doesn't believe there's anything in the Kyrie Irving or Dwight Howard comments so far that would lead to something not or something that would be disrupting the idea of going forward and resuming the NBA season. Meanwhile, we've seen over these few weeks in the country and how much unrest there has been of players on all levels sort of flexing the power that they know they have. We certainly saw that at the end of last week. Clemson players on Friday participated in a protest, and former Clemson players, including DeAndre Hopkins, openly questioned why certain buildings on campus were named or had a name affiliated with certain people who had a very unseemly history to slavery in this country, including a former vice president, John C. Calhoun, who was the vice president during John Quincy Adams, who argued that slavery was a good thing, and his name was removed from one of the buildings or one of the honor situations on Clemson's campus.
If you got an association with the Confederacy or with slavery in any form right now, and your name's on a building or statue, you're on notice. And that is the way that things are going right now, and it is completely understandable in all of these ways. And so, yes, we have seen an outpouring of that from notable alumni, because certainly DeAndre Hopkins, Deshaun Watson
spoke up,
led a lot of charge in all of that. We heard at that rally from Dabo Swinney, who finally spoke up and was, you know, I think much more pointed about supporting his players and the specific things that they are in place. A lot of people had been waiting for that from Dabo, and it appears many got what they were looking for on Friday from him. And then you move on to what's going on in Texas now, because we have seen instances where player like Marvin Wilson in Florida State speaks up about something that's going on. Alumni speak up like what's going on with Clemson right now. And then you get what's going on with Texas, which seems almost more all-encompassing because of the number of things that they're looking to accomplish here, the players.
They're requesting things, and they said they're not going to not play. They said they would practice and participate in team activities, but they will not be participating in the recruitment of incoming players or any alumni events. Among their requests are the renaming of four campus buildings that are named after Confederate or racist figures, more diverse statues by people of color, a permanent black athletic history in the school's Athletic Hall of Honor, the renaming of part of the Royal Texas Memorial Stadium, and the removal of the song "The Eyes of Texas" as the school song. So that was what, you know, we've seen the buildings change, and I think we're going to see more of that. We are,
no question,
as you just mentioned, Sonic, in Clemson. But they want that song that has been played for a long time there, "The Eyes of Texas," to not be the school song anymore. You know, you can go down the history of that song back in the late 1800s. To the performance in 1903 where it was first performed at a minstrel show, which featured blackface performances. That again in 1903, to the history of the song and what some perceive the meaning for and others as well. So these players are saying, we want that song gone.
Yeah. And listen, that's something. I mean, I went to school in Texas at Baylor in the old Southwest Conference. And you know, we played the University of Texas all the time. You heard that song all the time. So should that song be part of this? Because we have two contrasting opinions about this. First of all, here's Will Cain for the Will Cain Show.
And Will Cain went to Texas Law School.
He went to Texas Law School and is from Texas.
Yes.
Here are his thoughts on that.
Many of the demands that they make, like the renaming of buildings from guys who have ugly past, I totally understand. Mm-hmm. But the request to drop or replace the alma mater, the Eyes of Texas, is a bridge too far. It is one I cannot get behind, one that I think many people will not get behind. I think it will be not just unproductive, I think it will be destructive. to not just that campus environment, but to the national conversation and towards any progress that anyone interested in racial equality hopes to make. I think it is absolutely a bridge too far. I've put my research into what the eyes of Texas's history is, its connections, the allegations that it has a racist past, and I would tell you, I think it is beyond tenuous. It is a very, very weak case.
Okay, so that was Will Cain,
yep,
who went to law school at University of Texas. Now here's Nate Boyer, again, the Green Beret from Texas, who told Colin Kaepernick, hey, kneeling is a sign of respect. It's what we do for a fallen comrade in the field who played at the University of Texas.
Exactly.
Here is him on Sunday morning on ESPN Radio on Texas getting rid of the song, The Eyes of Texas.
Good. You want us to do this for you. You want us to do this for you. And we give everything we can on Saturdays in the fall and in the off season. It's hard to be a student athlete, you know, and we're going to do all this for you and represent the university. But if the university doesn't represent us in an equal way, we don't feel like, it's fair or right, or, you know, we're choosing tradition, over our tribe today. Then why would I want to help? Why would I want to be a part of that? And I totally respect that. I'm with the players on that.
Listen, I have no idea where to go on this one. I'm reading about the history of the song, you know, enough to understand where it came from. But like in this instance, to some people it means one thing, and to other, obviously others it means something else. So I'll be interested to see where this goes, because, you know, people who are named, you know, buildings are named after, you could see what's going on where those are taken down or statues are taken down. You understand their history and you see it. And I know there's still people on both sides of that, but this is a song that I'm just reading about, you know, and just starting to, once I heard about their demands to have the song taken away. I have no idea if it's going to work or not. I have a feeling it may not, but I certainly am in no position to understand the full meaning and value of this song.
The thing I didn't understand, and the part that I can't reconcile, is Will talking about it being destructive to so many things going forward. And I get, because names on buildings are not something that people regularly interact with. Like, right, most people are not going to raise hell about opposing that, because say, oh yeah, well, that's understandable, and it's a name on a building. I can live with that. The song, for whatever reason, people tie a lot more of their identity to being able to sing that stuff, and I'll never fully understand it. Like, this kind of falls into the buildings for me. It's, all right, well, this song has a past that makes a large group of people that make up your football team and your athletic department uncomfortable. And it sounds like, from people I've talked to, has made people uncomfortable for a while. I don't think this is just a new issue that has popped up all of a sudden, but rather one that's finally received a voice. I look and say, all right, scrap it. But it's also easy for me to say that, because I've never held on to those things. Like, right, if you told me tomorrow the Notre Dame fight song had some sort of racist origin, or the alma mater, and they wanted to do away with it, I'd say, all right, bet.
Yeah.
Would not lose 1 ounce of sleep over it. Would not matter to me in the slightest. Would not change my affiliation with the school, with the university, the way I felt about being a player there. Anything as to say, all right, you took a song away that had origins that made some of my teammates, that made other people feel less than welcome in that situation. All right, cool. See ya.
And to your point, it did come under scrutiny in recent years, you know, the song, but nothing was ever done. It is still, you know, the official song for Texas.
Yeah. So it's not a new thing, complaint from the people involved here.
We'll see how strong the voices are for those players at the University of Texas and what that leads to for that campus in Austin. Meanwhile, how strong is LeBron's voice when it comes to the NBA's plans to return? A former teammate will weigh in on that after this.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically, all on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, The 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Golden Wingo with you on a Monday morning. Hope your week's off to a good start. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Our phone guests joined us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And Mike, as you were reading that Sports Center, and you said it's been 91 days since the PGA returned, it has felt like 901 days.
It has. It feels like 91 been a long
days,
time.
Right?
Good for them. It returned well. NASCAR started back May 17th. All coming back really without a hitch. We hope the same will be said for hockey and, as it looks like, basketball as well. We hope it can all run as smooth as it seems to have been going with NASCAR and at least one weekend of the PGA.
Although there have been calls over the last few days with some NBA players wondering about, should we be doing this? Would it take the focus off what we really want it to be on, what's happening in our communities and the social injustice, specifically at the hands of law enforcement? And a lot of people are listening to LeBron or waiting for LeBron to say something. How strong is LeBron when it comes to the NBA's plan to return? Well, that's a loaded question. Loaded Question is brought to you by Barbershaw Shaving Cream, an American original for over 100 years. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol. And we ask our loaded questions to someone else. And that someone else is a former teammate of LeBron James, and that's Kendrick Perkins, who's with us this morning. Kendrick, thanks for being with us. Obviously, a lot of discussion about the discussion that some NBA players are having, and a lot of people are waiting to hear what LeBron might have to say on that. How important do you think his voice is will be on this discussion about should something disrupt the idea of going forward and resuming the NBA season in Orlando?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. Second of all, listen, the NBA is coming back. I don't know, you know, these group of guys that got on this phone conversation. You know, they had their chance, you know, a week or two ago when they first had a conference call and the voting was, I believe, 28 to nothing that guys wanted to come back. You know, you look at this situation at hand right now, and what it's doing is it's causing – conflict and confusion between our players. And what it's doing is making us not look as one, not unified, because all of a sudden we were told, we all came to, everyone came to agreement that we're going to play. And all of a sudden, you know, one guy is trying to ruffle the feathers and make noise for no reason, because he's not going to move the needle. You know, all the guys that was on that call were the powerful voices of the NBA. LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Luka Doncic, Russell Westbrook, Damian Lillard, you know, Giannis. The list goes on, and the vote was 28-9. Chris Paul, they wanted to play. Now, here it is. Chris Paul is the president of the Players Association, and all of a sudden we come out, we make a final decision, we work hand in hand with the NBA, and the players want to play, the owners want to play, we want to get basketball back. And now here it is, the vice president of the Players Association comes out and all of a sudden ruffles the feathers, saying that he think we shouldn't play. But this was the same guy about 10 days ago that came out and said that he wanted to join the team and be in Orlando around his team because, you know, the agreement was that inactive players couldn't go because there was only a certain amount of people that could be in the bubble. Now, what changed over the last 9-10 days? What changed was, from what I strongly believe and what I heard, is that the NBA and the Players Association told Kyrie that, no, you can't go because we're limited on the number of people that we could take, and the inactive players, knowing that you're not going to play, is although it's a great idea, it just wouldn't be the smartest thing to do. And all of a sudden now you're ruffling the feathers and causing not only friction in the world, but you're causing friction between the NBA brotherhood, because now when guys do get back to playing, you're going to have certain people saying, oh, man, they wrong for that. It's bigger than basketball. When people wasn't saying that at first. And at the end of the day, listen, I'm all for civil rights. and I'm all for the right thing, and I do believe that we need change, and we need change fast. We need to stop with the police brutality. We need to stop with the racism. But can we change that overnight? No. And with protesting, I'm not saying don't go out there and protest. I'm saying, you know, let your voices be heard. I speak mine. But at the end of the day, since George Floyd's death, we have lost so many lives of so many races that we need to come up with another plan or another solution to the problem, a temporary fix. Because right now, when we announce protesting and we go out and protest to the police officers and to the system, it's almost like we're saying, let's go to war, because that's what's happening right now. But at the end of the day, it's a difference between being powerful and popular. Kyrie is a popular guy, but he's not a powerful guy. He's not moving the needle where the NBA is going to say, oh, now we go cancel the season because Kyrie got 80 guys on the call. That's not happening. It's just not happening. I'm sorry. And I wouldn't be surprised if we wouldn't hear from LeBron James at this time, because there's no reason for him to address this.
We'll see what happens.
Well, I'll tell you what, you answered about every question we had out there, Kendrick. That was a great job.
I was about to say, incredible. Thank you for running the table. That was incredible.
You did our job for us. We have nothing to add there. It's a great job.
We appreciate the time and the help, Kendrick, as always, man.
Man, I apologize, y'all, but I just got so mad. I got so mad at thinking about it, you know, just for the simple fact that, you know, how can a guy mindset change in 10 days? You know, George Floyd was murdered on the 25th of May. They started protesting the next day. They started rioting the next 2 days. Kyrie mindset just 10 days ago was he wanted to go to Orlando. What changed since then? What changed was that they told him he couldn't go.
Right. Yeah. That's you laid it out for us. We appreciate it, Kendrick, very much.
Kendrick, thanks for your time, buddy. Man. We appreciate it, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
It is very interesting to think about the timing and the source and all this seem to be the two things most tied to what everyone and what we heard from Woj and what we heard from Kendrick believes the reaction going forward, which is going to be, we will still have basketball occurring in Orlando.
And again, our next question was going to be, why do you think Kyrie did that? What do you think the reason? But before he laid it out, he anticipated and he laid out why he thought.
And we thank him.
Yes, we do.
No question about it. So from a lot of authoritative voices, it does sound like, while there may be some questions to ponder, there is going to be the resumption of play in the NBA. And means very soon we will add the NBA to this list. From NASCAR to the PGA to the MMA. Who actually won the weekend? We get to do that now. It's a thing again with actual choices. We'll get to all of that after this.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
With thousands of locally owned Napa stores across the nation, chances are that wherever you call home, we do too. So as America starts opening back up for business, and as more of us start getting back out there again, we'll be in big cities, small towns, and everywhere in between, doing what we've always done to help keep our local communities moving forward. So whether you stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, Auto Care Center, or visit us at Napa Online, you can count on Napa know-how.
Golic & Wingo is brought to you by DraftKings. Golf is back. Download the DraftKings app and use code Golic for a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. It's only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposits required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
All right, Golic & Wingo here with you, and this is becoming more of a challenge, as so is keeping things on the table when Harry, the middle linebacker pug, decides to run around the room. Man, he just knocked almost everything off your table.
The mayor of Unitsville, USA.
He is thick. Yeah. I mean, for a pug, he is thickness.
Yeah, he's Dr. Jumbo. He's a battering ram, R4 on your kickoff.
Oh, without question. He is
full wedge buster.
In the old days, he's the wedge buster.
Yeah.
So doesn't even think twice about it.
So we have more options right now with who won the weekend, because we have NASCAR coming back. You have the PGA Tour back, UFC, the MMA continues to go. So we got a lot of potential winners here. We got Daniel Berger, who won the Charles Schwab Challenge. We got Denny Hamlin, who won the Dixieland Vodka 400. We got Chase Briscoe, won the Xfinity race while members of his crew were suspended. We got Cynthia Cavillo beating Jessica Ai by unanimous decision at UFC Fight Night. It was Cavillo's debut as a flyweight after spending the duration of her UFC career at strawweight. She missed weight by 25 pounds and had to forfeit 25%
of her purse. Not by 25 pounds.
No, 0.25 pounds.
I was going
to
say.
There was a, yeah, I was about to say. Yeah. That was a fluctuation that only Bryson DeChambeau can
imagine
have.
Imagine being 25 pounds.
My bad.
By 25. Sorry.
See what yeah, happened.
She
was.
Gave up a quarter of her purse because of that.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow.
So with all that in mind, do you have someone you
well,
are nominating?
Before we get to that, why don't we get to some DeChambeau names?
Well, see, I mean, now,
this
now,
has
now,
been
see,
a lot of fun.
Now, I'm holding that out for a reason.
All right. I'm okay. Well, listen, I'll give you my winner.
Okay.
I have no problem doing this. Buddy Gross.
Is he on the Bass?
Won the Bassmasters Elite Series over the weekend in Alabama. Yes. He was down, and because not just that he won, on the last day he was in 10th place and he was 7 pounds behind. Again, for this, it's five fish, the five biggest fish you catch throughout the day, and go for weighing each day. And he was 7 pounds behind in 10th place on the last day. Pulled an incredible stringer and won by 1 pound, $100,000.
So we had 0.25 pounds cost someone 25% of their purse, and we had 1 pound win somebody.
1 pound,
$100,000.
So 100,000. And oh, by the way, Colin Morikawa, who missed that putt,
yeah.
I believe it cost him, that missed putt in playoffs cost him $525,000.
That is correct.
Yikes.
Yeah. So yeah, so some catching fish helping you win some money, missing putts hurting you win some money. So yes, I'm giving it the Bassmasters champion, Buddy Gross. Congrats to you, my friend.
Junior?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Bryson DeChambeau on this one, because even though he did not win, and obviously that honor went to Daniel Berger, yeah, who won, the real winner was Bryson DeChambeau's recent weight gain, yeah, in a lot of this one right now, which prompted us to launch down the rabbit hole of possible things you could call a former nerd turned gigantic person. He's like the guy that goes to college for the first time and finds the weight program and all the food that you get to eat when you become a student athlete at the college level. And you gain a lot of weight, and it's not necessarily great weight right away. Like, Bryson DeChambeau is not going to wow anyone with his cuts when he goes down to the Jersey Shore this weekend, but he can at least walk around knowing full well that he has the answer to the age-old question, is it wrong to be strong? And the answer is no. It's never wrong to be strong.
So I put it out there on Twitter, he needs a new nickname, or as someone pointed out to me, a new thick name. So what should it be? And ones we came up with were Gain Stewart, Jack Thickness, the Mathematician, Bryson DeChambeau, and then other people, including you, weighed in. We have Bryson DeChambeau.
Bryson DeChambeau was from someone on Twitter, and it is the leader in the clubhouse. I laughed impossibly hard at the notion of Bryson DeChambeau, which is the best one, the pinnacle of this.
DeChambeau Flex was also there.
Bryson DeChambeau Flex.
Bryson DeRambo?
Bryson DeRambo. We had
Beef Hammer, Phil Fickelson,
Walter Hagendoss, Girth Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnsonville Bratz, Phil Fickelson, Ben Hoagie, Ernie LBS, Daniel Berger spelled with a U, Ian Poultry, Graham McDouble, the great DeChambino,
Bryson DeChambeau,
Jack Nicklaus.
How about this one? Bryson DeChambloated.
Bryson DeChambrock Shake. Yeah. Now, we don't want to fat shame, Trey.
No, no,
you're getting very dangerously close to offending my people, all right?
Bryson Tyson, someone put out?
Bryson Tyson. You know what? I think Bryson DeChambeau is ultimately the one that we should land on, and we should be thankful that someone from the outside came and plucked us from obscurity and gave us this golden goose of a nickname.
I'm not going to lie to you. I thought Phil Fickelson was very good, but Bryson...
Bryson DeChambeau is phenomenal.
It's the perfect visual for a guy that now is trying to tap into the Brooks Koepka market of beefy golfers, which is something that if we learned nothing else from the documentary that we watched this weekend in Long Gone Summer.
Long Gone Summer.
It is, life is better when everyone's a little thick.
Yeah.
Like when everyone's a little bit thicker, everything gets more fun. The home runs are longer, the drives are harder, the hits are bigger, and it is all way cooler.
Do we think DeChambeau try and cut up a little bit now? He did the bulking,
Did you see the drives? I mean, the 330, 346, 352, 36, and he was swinging. Junior put it up best. He was swinging like the last guy in a five-man scramble. Okay, we got him out in the fairway.
He was coming out of his
heels. Just take your cuts, man.
This was what I love to do at scrambles because by the second hole, I was hammered. And someone would get it out there, and you just swing like crazy to get it out there. But he would swing like crazy and get it out in the fairway, 350. It's ridiculous. So,
I really.
What'd you got? What do you got? And I promise, it doesn't work. This sounds like it would come from someone that works on their show. Man. They didn't say this. Bryson DeChambeau's new nickname should be Dan Lebatard.
Oh.
I say that with love, Dan. As one of my thick brothers in this. I know everyone on that show likes to fat shame Dan, and I think it's ugly and unbecoming. He is one of my thick brothers in arms, and I stand by him.
So is Bryson now.
Yeah, I was going to go with the 17th cup being the winner, but Bryson DeChambeau is clearly the winner this weekend. All right, that'll do it for us today. Coming up on Tuesday's edition of Golic and Wingo, we'll have Steelers running back James Conner, and Marcus Spears will join us as well. Maybe Marcus can come up with some better thick names for Bryson DeChambeau. We got to keep this thing going. Have a great Monday, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.